You and I sitting round the wireless Thursday style, February 20th, 2025, right here on Connecticut Today, where we welcomed only in Bridgeport blogger Lenny Grimaldi once again to chat about possible revisions to the Bridgeport City Charter, something that hasn't happened in decades. I opened the show, too, with some thoughts on some controversial statements from Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, apparently aimed at President Trump. As I've always said, I wish he would use a scalpel more than a sledgehammer, but a lot of people have seen the sledgehammer up close. Right, Lenny? There's your cue, right? You've seen the sledgehammer up close, haven't you?
That was a baseball bat to the knees. Uncle Paulie, what do you want to call? You know?
Yeah.
Listen, before we get to the good stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You said something about an hour ago that close to my heart.
Yeah.
Because you're talking about big bands, right?
Yeah.
Oh. Bridgeport was a big band.
Yes. They all stopped in Bridgeport. Yeah.
Yes. In 1984, I interviewed the late, great Artie Shaw Weir in the offices of WICC.
Wow.
So the microphone that you're behind now, the late Tiny Markle was there then.
Oh, yeah.
And, well, he called me and said, hey, I got Artie Shaw coming in. Get up here.
And I've seen interviews with him, Lenny. He was a piece of work, wasn't he? He was funny.
Yeah, because I asked him, I said, what was it like to be married to Lana Turner and Ava Gardner? He goes, I don't know. They lasted a year each. He was married 8 times.
Yeah, I was going to say, I remember it was 7 or 8 times. Yeah, well, you know, he was good with his clarinet. That's all we got to say. Oh, thank you very much. All right. Lenny, what charter revision? Now, I guess the baby steps are underway, and a lot of people are wondering, okay, I got an idea. Here's what Bridgeport should do. Where do we stand on this?
Well, I'm rubbing my hands together on this, because this thing could be, you don't know where it's going to go.
Yeah.
Right? So basically what they're looking at is it's been a long time. It's been 30 years or so since there was a comprehensive review of the city charter. And there's a lot of antiquated things in there, and there's a lot of things that people want to change. So the city council approved a 13-member panel. They're going to have their first meeting very, very soon. They're going to pick a chairman.
Yeah.
I know maybe about a half a dozen people on it. Some of them I don't even know, you know, on there. But right now, the scope of this thing is kind of up in the air, and there's a lot of things they're kicking around. For instance, some people want to reduce the size of the city council. They feel too unwieldy. There's 20 people. Some people want minority party representation, like me. I think there should be different voices on them than just Democrats, right? Other communities have minority party representation in the legislature, and we have it on their local legislative branches, but also have it statewide on local boards of education. So that could be something. A paid city council, right? A lot of the council members say, hey, why don't we ask the voters to approve pay for us? Because all this ultimately, no matter what happens, it has to go to the city council for approval of the ballot questions, and then it goes to the electorate in November to make a decision. Something else, civil service classifications, what's classified, what should not be. President of the city council. Should the president of the city council chair meetings rather than mayor? Right now, the mayor does that, okay? So a lot of these things are going to be kicked around. The question is, are they going to break out these questions individually or lump it in as one package? Which is, that could be a very difficult thing, because there could be a question or two or one of the priorities or two that could drag something down that they want. So that's something the council as a whole has to decide, individual questions or just lump it all in.
Yeah.
So the timeline of this is it's pretty tight. So basically, the commission must present a draft report to the council by June 16th. There'll be a public hearing, and then the council will issue comments back to the commission in preparation of a final report. And then the council will decide questions. Are they going to be broken out separately or contained as a package with one question of voters to decide? And that's kind of the short version of it. But the Charter Commission has a lot of latitude to go anywhere it wants with this. The last time there was a charter question on the ballot, it got defeated. It was very narrow.
Really?
Okay. So the Bill Finch administration and in 2012 asked the voters if they wanted a mayoral appointment of the Board of Education. The Board of Education was dysfunctional then. It's still dysfunctional. Nothing new.
Nothing changed. Here we go again.
It was a mess. There was a state takeover for a while. Yeah. And the local board was overturned by the Supreme Court because logistically they handled it wrong because they didn't give the board training. Remember that?
Yes.
So they're getting training around there, Uncle Paulie. They're getting training now.
But that was
one narrow question which the voters defeated. So now this looks like there's going to be potentially several things on the ballot for the electorate to decide.
As far as the Board of Education now, Lenny, as you say, the past 30, 40 years have been interesting. But now, what's the update with that? And the acting school superintendent, Royce Avery, is telling the General Assembly, hey, education generally needs more money. We see $40 million, I guess, is going to be pushed now toward special ed and that area. But where do we stand now with the whole scenario of what I guess would be a takeover of the Board of Ed in Bridgeport? How does that stand right now?
That is, you know, wait and see, kind of a work in progress thing. Mm-hmm. There's certainly no doubt that the state has become very active in reviewing the Board of Education. And so like a couple hours ago, I received a news release from Superintendent Avery's office about welcoming this so-called technical assistance team. What is that? That is a team led by the State Board of Education and the Education Commissioner. So they're going to be coming in basically looking at finances and special education and the governance of the school system. So there's going to be a lot of influence going on between the state overseeing. So this is kind of, I call it like the de facto takeover.
It's not
official. It's more like it's informal. Because this is something, it wasn't like Bridgeport went out to the governor and said, we really want you to do a state takeover. Yeah. The government got involved, right? The governor got involved and the state education commissioner and said, hey, let's take a look at this thing before it gets, you know.
They don't want to do this with a sledgehammer. They're doing kind of the velvet glove. Hey, would you like some help on this? Wink, wink.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they're looking at strengthening financial stability, instructional practices, you know, and so on. And, you know, basically coming in and providing some guidance, some support. You know, are they going to really weigh in with any more money?
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. As you noted, today the Superintendent Avery made a pitch to state legislative leaders about, listen, we need equity and funding for the school system. So I think that's a little bit more of a piece that could be evolved. Yesterday, you may have talked about it. The legislative leadership announced $40 million more for special education.
Mm-hmm.
There's a formula how that breaks out for someone like Bridgeport. I'm not sure, but there's certainly going to be more money for special education. You know, and it becomes very, very costly, particularly in the transportation area.
Sure.
So, you know, I think there's going to be this session. You know, the fiscal guardrails and all the things you've been talking about, how much are they going to loosen that up? I mean, there's going to be more money coming to the city, but how much more, right? And so, you know, this is – the state has buy-in right now because, you know, they're out there on this thing. They don't want – you know, they've planted a flag in Bridgeport saying, we want to help rescue the Bridgeport school system.
Mm. The website, of course, only in Bridgeport.com. Lenny Grimaldi, as every you know, every Thursday at this time. Lenny, thanks. Have a great weekend, and we'll chat down the road, all right?
Okay.
All right, Lenny Grimaldi, there you go. All right, I'm going to solicit a little help from me. You men and women, you fine ladies and gentlemen out there of the listening audience, I need a little help on this one. I do. I think I know which way you'll break on this as far as opinion, but I need a little help. I want to roll out a piece of audio that's making the headlines around the country. We've got a lot of stuff to get to today nationally and locally, but I want to start with this because I heard this morning. This ended up, you know, buzzing on my phone, and I went, geez, what is this now? And I listened to it, and I went, well, this is interesting. Now, this comes on the heels of a couple of, as I mentioned, a couple of Quinnipiac polls that we've been hit with, one last month, one this month. fact that came out yesterday. We'll get a little more into those poll numbers later on. But this is the one yesterday that's making a lot of national news. And I told you it would, because the fine folks at the Quinnipiac poll there in Hamden on Whitney Avenue there, used to work in that neighborhood for years. It's made national news because the Q poll is anything but a right-wing, right-leaning poll. In fact, the staff of the Q poll is known in polldom to lean a little left, maybe to oversample Democrats, whatever. There are polls that lean left and right. So when I saw yesterday, well, when I saw last month nationally, a bad number there. Listen, you don't have to be a Democrat or Republican to want both parties in decent shape to kind of counterbalance each other. So last month when I saw national approval for the Democrats and all, you know, in all factors, a moderate to left-leaning poll was 31%. I said, wow, is that accurate? I said to myself, self, yes. Hey, self, wait for the next poll to come out. So sure enough, yesterday, the Quinnipiac poll came out, and they said that Democrats in Congress only have a 21% approval rating, and that's mixed between Republicans, Democrats, and independents. Now, obviously, about 40% of the Democrats think they're doing better, but that's not a good number either among your own party. So I hear that a month ago. I hear this yesterday, and I say, man, how much worse can it get? And how do they dig themselves out of this? Well, I thought about this yesterday and last night, and sure enough, this morning, I get this clip sent to me. I'm on a blast of a couple of conservative news sites, and it comes from a very prominent Democrat governor out there, and his party is floundering in Congress. It's floundering in the polls. It is floundering here, there, and everywhere. No real platform to speak of. No real counterbalance to Mr. Trump to speak of that might make people on the Republican side and say, hey, yeah, he's right. Maybe we should watch this. But J.B. Pritzker, I don't know whether you saw this. Now, this guy's not an insignificant guy. This is the governor of Illinois, right? And when you think of blue-leaning states with major blue cities, you think of New York first with New York City. You think of Los Angeles second in California. And then generally you think of Illinois, the land of Lincoln, as it says on the license plates. You think of Chicago, that toddling town. Hey, and you think of a guy like J.B. Pritzker setting the tone for the Democratic Party. Well, he went there yesterday, delivering, as Governor Lamont did a couple of weeks ago, J.B. Pritzker delivering his budget address or his own state of the state address. And he's toddling along there talking about taxes and whatever. And then he turns to Mr. Trump. So I'm asking you this. When we come back, I'm going to play this from you. I'm going to play this segment, and you tell me, is this too much or not? I have a segment coming. It's not long. In fact, hang on. It's 34 seconds. I have 34 seconds of audio I'm going to play for you, in which the governor of the third most influential state of the nation, referring to certain political forces now in the country, the N-word. No, not that N-word, the other one. All right, here it is, 35 seconds of audio. I want you to chime in on this. Was this too much? Did this cross a line? You may say, of course it did. That's ridiculous, Ball. How could he say something like that? But then you may hear it and say, well, you know, listen, he said what had to be said. Governor J.B. Pritzker, Illinois, at the end of him delivering his budget address and state of the state address to the folks in the land of Lincoln. Listen up.
We don't have kings in America, and I don't intend to bend the knee to one. If you think I'm overreacting and sounding the alarm too soon, consider this. It took the Nazis 1 month, 3 weeks, 2 days, 8 hours, and 40 minutes to dismantle a constitutional republic. And all I'm saying is that when the five-alarm fire starts to burn, every good person better be ready to man a post with a bucket of water if you want to stop it from raging out of control.
All right, he went there. The N-word. No, not that. No. Thank God. Not that N-word. But, the Nazis. And then he dances around it with the media. Is he calling President Trump a Nazi? This guy from the party who constantly says we need to turn down the rhetoric, what's wrong with the White House? Is he aligning people who in his state and a lot of other states voted for Donald Trump, whether they liked him or not, or no, but for whatever reason? Is he calling them Nazis?
Consider this. It took the Nazis 1 month, 3 weeks, 2 days, 8 hours, and 40 minutes to dismantle a constitutional republic. And all I'm saying is that when the five-alarm fire starts to burn, every good person better be ready to man a post with a bucket of water if you want to stop it from raging out of control.
Yeah. Okay. 203-333-9422. 333-WICC. He's talking about a five-alarm fire. Now, he danced around it in the end. He was asked by the public broadcasting TV station in Chicago, WTTW, about the Nazi reference there. A reporter asked Pritzker, or maybe this is a report from WTTW. I don't know whether this reporter was affiliated with that station or not. When a reporter asked Governor Pritzker, quote, how is it not an insult to half of the American public who voted for Trump when you're talking about Trump being a Nazi? Pritzker said, those words never came out of my mouth. That's not true. Okay. I guess he technically never said Trump was a Nazi. Never said that half the country that voted for Trump were, you know, have Nazi sympathies. Listen, he's not a dumb guy. J.B. Pritzker and his sister, Penny Pritzker, are heir to, I think it's the Hyatt Hotel fortune. So they're both worth like $3-4 billion. His sister is a major Democratic donor, which is fine. You donate whoever you want. No skin off my back. I told you my experience donating to candidates was $40 15 years ago to a wine and cheese thing. That's it. So I don't donate to candidates. But man, oh man, Governor J.B. Pritzker here, third most influential state in America, I think, next to New York and California, Chicago. And he's rolling along with his budget speech there, talking about tightening the belt and we can't raise taxes on people anymore. No, you know what, Sherlock, you finally woke up there in a blue state. But I digress. So he's, trolling along doing that. And once again, he said, and you tell me, maybe I'm wrong here. Maybe this should be said. But again, you throw around Nazis and Hitler, like it's a bag of Skittles, and people's eyes start to glaze over.
Consider this. It took the Nazis 1 month, 3 weeks, 2 days, 8 hours, and 40 minutes to dismantle a constitutional republic. And all I'm saying is that when the five-alarm fire starts to burn, every good person better be ready to man a post with a bucket of water if you want to stop it from raging out of control.
So what is he exactly saying there? What is he inferring? Because then he told reporters, well, here was his quote. He was asked, quote, how is it not an insult to half of the American public who voted for Trump when you're talking about Trump being a Nazi? Pritzker shot back, those words never came out of my mouth. That's not true. Well, of course, he's not going to say Trump's a Nazi. But did he say that? And again, I'm all for free speech here, but he's getting roasted by even the mainline news stations in Illinois are like, what? Did that go too far? Look, I'm all for freedom of speech. That's fine. But what do you think of that? That I wanted to open with that today because I heard that this morning and I went, wow. Hey, I'm not calling him a Nazi. No, our Nazi voters. But, you know, even the Nazis. And what? Well, wait a minute. Was that governor? Oh, no, no, no. I'm not calling him a Nazi. But, you know, even the Nazis. Okay. Todd in Fairfield before news. Todd, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. How you doing?
Good.
Sitting in a
good.
Stop and Shop parking lot right now.
Yep. Yeah.
So I two things I wanted to point out here. I'm kind of in the middle on all these things. But if we're going to start worrying about name-calling, I mean, Trump kind of put name-calling.
Okay, but that's not the issue. But, Todd, that's not the issue. We all know what Trump is, and Lord knows I've criticized him 1,000 times on this show. Did J.B. Pritzker go too far there, yes or no?
I don't think he did. I think what he was doing is using as an example what the Nazis did.
Okay.
I never heard him say Trump is a Nazi.
Well, he's no dummy. He's no dummy.
Another authoritarian leader at some point in our recent history dismantled a democratic government in 35 days. And he believes that's happening now. A lot of people believe that's happening now. I think a lot of people who voted for Trump probably believe that might even be happening. But to me, that was an example. I'm a student of history, and that's how I heard it. He was using it as an example.
Okay, so you don't think there was any, and I just want to make sure you're clear on this, you don't think there was any inference there? Because there are other dictators who have done this throughout the years. I mean, Lord knows, Hitler wasn't the only one.
If you want to get people's attention, you use the Nazis as an example, right?
You're right there. Yeah.
So, like, that's, he knows what he's doing. He's an effective communicator.
Oh, he's no dummy.
So he knew exactly what he was doing. He didn't call Trump a Nazi.
No.
Trump himself back in September said he thought the Nazis did some smart things. So let's, just to level it out here, if we're going to use the word Nazi, it's been used on both sides by the guy who now is going to be crying that he's being called one. So I don't have any pity for Trump in this situation. I think it was an effective communication. I think, as much as I said I'm level-headed on this, I do think people need to wake up and look at what's happening. And I'm not concerned about it. I think that was an effective communication. You and I are talking about it. I called a radio show for the very first time about this, right?
Really? So, wow. So I baptized you today. Wow, that's pretty cool.
This was
very nice.
A first time, long time call. Jetted into Westport Stop and Shop parking lot just to call you.
Holy crap! I made you pull off the road. Wow, jeez, that's pretty good.
Or rather, a Nazi comment made me pull off the road.
Well, there you go. Yes. All right, Todd, welcome aboard. Thank you. Appreciate it. You know the number now, so always dial us up, will you? At 333-9422, 333-WICC.